Fuck. Ow. Ow, my back. Ow. How you doing, Beans? Ah.
Oh, I'm doing... What the hell was that, Grace?
I don't know. I feel like I got hit by a horse truck.
Oh. Oh, man.
I know we were podcasting on this horse highway.
I thought we were podcasting in the basement of your castle. How'd we get hit by a horse? What the fuck?
What?
What?
Huh?
Where are my fingers?
Okay, so... I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but I think we were hit by a horse truck and got isekai'd into Equestria?
We were hit by a horse truck and isekai'd into Equestria?
I mean, we're horses. Like, we're ponies. Like, I think that would be the Occam's razor explanation.
I mean, I get... Oh, okay. That... Okay. Well...
At least our podcast equipment also got isekai'd.
Yeah, this is good. Can we, get a light on in here? It's kind of dark.
Aw.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, you got a cute little horn.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to smooch it.
I think we have slightly more pressing concerns. Also, you've got a horn, too.
Do I?
That's just a
hoge?
I think that's the one.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute, it's very protagonist-y, but, yeah.
Yes, that's fair. Okay, well,
it's almost a unicorn. Thanks, truck. You couldn't even kill me, right?
Well, I guess I need to be the unicorn for both of us here.
My big, strong unicorn.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think you might be a bit bigger than I am.
Oh, good. That's hot.
This podcast equipment is running, you know.
Well, that'll save us some time, then.
Okay, but, like...
Well...
Do we need to delete that bit?
I mean... Or... We're gonna have to tell him what happened eventually, right?
I meant mostly just the flirting, but maybe that's just me being shy. Anyway,
I think that people like it when the horses flirt. They do that in the show. It's canon.
Okay, but... Oh, no. Wait. How do you open a window with it? Okay, alright, got it.
Don't you have telekinesis?
It hurts. Oh. Kinda. I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe you just gotta break it. It's like a new pair of shoes, but on your head.
Yeah, I really don't want to break my horn. That sounds like a bad plan. But, like, the clock on the wall says, like it's something like 2 p.m. right now, but, like, the moon's up.
Huh. Yeah, it's like there's an eternal night going on.
Oh, no. Maybe they released the Mare on the Moon, Nightmare Moon.
I was just ready to believe they put a mare on the moon.
But they put a mare in the moon. The Mare on the Moon, Nightmare Moon.
Well,
I'm sorry, I'm gonna keep saying that. It's just so very good that she is the Mare in the Moon, Nightmare Moon.
Oh, I think she's the Mare out of the moon now.
Oh no, someone let the Mare out of the moon.
Well, you know, according to the ancient prophecy.
Yeah. So maybe we should check in on that?
Yeah, I guess we should check in on what happens in Friendship is Magic, Part 2, directed by Jason Theisen and James Wilton, written by Lauren Faust, original air date October 22nd, 2010.
Oh man, it's a good thing the Wikipedia page for this also got isekai'd. The only piece of technology so far that has survived, and our recording equipment, I guess. There's a lot that got hit by that horse truck.
I think it might be a sign.
Oh, no.
A sign that we have to continue podcasting here in Equestria.
Oh, no. Okay, whatever we do, like, we gotta make sure, before we step out of this building, and Pinkie Pie does the horrifying scream thing at us, then runs off, because I mean, let's be honest. You both, like, we both know she's gonna do it.
Yeah.
Like,
we're gonna get welcome wagon.
Podcasting equipment. We gotta get this out of sight. Like, we gotta make sure we tuck that away.
Oh, absolutely. Like, not because, like, anything would break our cover, but I think it's because she would try podcasting. I don't want that. No one wants that.
Yeah, I don't want a Pinkie Pie podcast.
A Pinkie Pod, if you will.
I was trying to think about Pod Pie, and that's even worse.
Pinkie Cast?
I don't like Pinkie Cast. I don't like any of them. Yeah, let's just make sure we never tell her about this equipment.
Yeah, trust me. There's a lot of things you shouldn't tell Pinkie Pie, such as what sex is.
Oh.
I think she's had it, but I think she calls it something else. I think she would call it, like,
yes.
I think she would call it a pony pussy surprise or something. No,
oh, I thought it was going to be like a Goku situation where, like, she's had sex and she probably has a kid somewhere, but she doesn't know what sex is still.
Like, I think if you said the word sex to her, she would be confused. But I think, like, if you described it to her, it's like, oh, I've had that. Yeah, I call it...
Oh, that's the thing that TERFs confuse with gender. I understand. Oh, wait, we're in Equestria. We're in a TERF-free zone. Oh, maybe this isn't so bad.
Yeah, it's all real grass.
Yeah. Man. I wish the real world had more astroturfing, and by that I meant sending TERFs into space.
I think they would enjoy it, falling into the sun.
Yeah, man. So I guess we talk about the episode that is happening out our window right now. Yeah, let's go take a look.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like there's some commotion out there.
Yeah. It seems like everyone's at the Summer Sun celebration where Princess Celestia is missing and Nightmare Moon just had a really cool speech. And Mayor Mare is like, seize them!
Yeah.
Which I don't think is usually something a mayor does, but I guess this is an emergency.
I mean, she's, like, she's the only governmental body, so she's also, like, the chief of police, I guess?
Yeah, like, Ponyville doesn't have any cops. I think there's, like, one cop in all of Equestria, and they live in Canterlots.
Yeah, like, I do kind of love how much all these, like, guard Pegasi are just the same boy. Like, they're all the same white horse in a gold armor. I don't know how that's a thing.
Yeah, like, I mean, you'd think that they just copied and pasted the same guy. There's just like a... They trained one guard, they made a bunch of copies of him. It's fine.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense. That's why Nightmare Moon's weird, like, kind of bad cackling audio and a little subpar eye-glowing effect was able to send them sprawling, right?
Yeah, I mean, they got hit by lightning.
That's true.
Yeah, like, if you're trying to fly and someone threw some indoor lightning at you, A, it would be...
Yeah.
It would be bucking loud. Ow, my ears. My horse ears that I just got.
Right?
I'm using those to hear things.
Yeah. Also, I was just gonna say, really, really dark, I think actually even just straight up black, like, character designs with, like, really bright line work. Mwah. Love it. I don't know why I don't draw that more often.
She looks good.
Fuck, it's gonna be hard to draw with hooves.
Again, you're telekinetic, but B, I believe the state of the art is to hold a pen in your mouth.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I picked a good time to be illiterate.
Yeah. Alright, okay, Grace, what are we...
Alright, so, Nightmare Moon, you know, fucks off.
Yeah. Turns into... A wisp of purple magic-y smoke, and that's what she is for the rest of the episode, for the most part?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Twilight goes home, tucks Spike into bed, because he's a sleepy baby dragon.
Yeah.
Very cute. And,
And then has her panic attack.
It is weird that Twilight rubs it in, like, you are just a baby dragon after all. I realize that's exposition, and, like, it explains why he's sleepy when Twilight isn't, but it's...
Yeah.
Fucking baby.
Although, having been in, I mean, not, you know, the second God was released out of the moon sort of catastrophe, but, like, having been in those situations, I actually, like, really appreciate how Twilight's done here, because, like, the scene with her and Spike, where, like, Spike is so fucking tired he cannot handle, like, being involved in a disaster, she is super calm.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she's out of the room, it's panic mode. And I have been there, and I actually quite like that depiction.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, what I like here is that, like, it would be really easy for them to make Twilight, like, this is hopeless dork who does everything wrong. But, like, Twilight is, you know, she's on the ball, she is pretty quick to realize what's going on, and, like, she has some, social skills. Like, she, you know, she is good at taking care of Spike.
Yeah, like, even in the first episode, like, she was rude, but, like, she wasn't incapable of social interaction. Like, Fluttershy was definitely much more horrible with social interactions, for example.
Yeah, like, Twilight has friends. She has people who, like, at least know who she is and, like, ask if she's coming to a party.
Yeah. Yeah, she can hold a conversation, which is nice to see for a character like this.
Yeah, she would usually prefer not to, but, like, she can, and she's often short with people, with ponies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's nice to see. It's like, it would be very easy for her, for them to write her as socially competent, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, she's just the right amount of inept.
Yeah.
And Rainbow Dash comes screaming in while Twilight's looking for a book.
She shows up and starts, like, accusing Twilight of being a spy because she knew this would happen.
Also nearly impales her own eye on Twilight's horn at the angle she comes in at, which... Damn, good going, Rainbow, actually making this a much worse show than it could have been.
She looked good with an eye patch.
You know? Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. So that's fair. I'd be down for Rainbow Dash with an eye patch.
Rainbow Patch, if you will. Rainbow Dash is suspicious. She calls Twilight a spy because she knew this would happen and tried to stop it. Weird.
Yeah,
but Rainbow Dash isn't very good at putting things together.
Yeah, she's not the sharpest spoon in the drawer.
Yeah, but and again, it's fine because like Applejack immediately comes in, grabs her by her tail, yanks, and then now calm down. She's on our side. Like it's good. It's good to have characters be like weirdly suspicious of things, but then like have it not really go anywhere. It's just tell us about Rainbow Dash more than anything.
Yeah, and again, it's another like I mentioned it last time with Applejack that just like this is a really good like. I do a lot of GMing stuff, so I'm always looking at stuff from that angle, and like, love it when players are like this, of like, oh, you're being really weird about this one NPC, let's pull it back just a bit. Because also this scene made me have the thought of the times that I've had to be like, ah, good, well, I need the entire party together, so yeah, you all get back together again before going and visiting that weird horse in her weird library tree. Like, yeah, you think you all might want to be together to talk to her. All right, now you're all in the room.
Yeah.
Excellent. And with that, all the ponies are in the room.
Yep. And then everyone shows up. Pinkie Pie immediately finds the book Twilight was looking for because it was under E.
I am almost debating starting a running counter for how many times Pinkie Pie makes good jokes because that's two already.
Yeah, like...
She had one in the last episode. It was actually a pretty good banger. And that one's, like, well-delivered.
Yeah, it's... I used to find Pinkie Pie annoying, like, all my memories are, like, pretty anti-Pinkie Pie, but so far she's been, like, fun and charming and funny.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but yeah. Definitely better.
Yeah, like, I've found Pinkie Pie, like, pretty enjoyable so far.
Yes, yeah. She is better than I remember her being.
Yeah. And Twilight gets out the book, and she's like, the Elibits were last seen at the castle of the Ancient Pony Sisters, which, like, Nightmare Moon Mist is outside the window and hears this.
Yeah.
Which is like, what, you didn't know? I figured you would know. I figured this would be your thing. But
yeah, like, you were imprisoned by these things. You should know.
Yeah, it seems like you would know where they are.
Yeah. Also, I do appreciate Twilight, like, reading out what all the elements are, and we get, like, a pan over all the main six.
Yeah.
With, like, a little chime each time she says one, it's like, ah, yeah!
Yeah, there they are!
There, oh, look, there are our elements of harmony right there in the pony flesh.
Yeah. It's good. It's a nice little hint.
But also, like, it's a kid's show. Like, I get it.
This is a kid's show. You're allowed to, like, you're allowed to tell the audience what you're trying to tell them.
Yeah, you're allowed to have a little, like, Pavlov's bell for when the audience is supposed to understand that, like, a thing being said and a character on screen are connected.
Yeah. And then they they venture out into the Everfree Forest.
The Everfree Forest?
Yeah, which, like, they all say this in unison. They're all afraid of it, even though, like, I don't think there's any way Twilight would know about the Everfree Forest. Maybe she would have. Maybe she read about it or something.
Yeah. Good scene transition between the two.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
And they venture into the Everfree Forest, and, like, it's this evil, scary forest where, like, and we'll get more on this in a later episode, but it is pretty... The whole thing about the Everfree Forest is that, like, nature happens on its own there. Like, the seasons transition without pony intervention.
I don't recall them actually saying that in this episode.
No, that like, comes up later. But, like, to establish mood or whatever.
Yeah. They have the very interesting how do you do an underlighted pony with how flat their faces are thing. With Rainbow Dash just saying that, like, any pony that goes in never comes out. Mm-hmm. Let's remember that no pony ever comes out of the Everfree Forest. I'm gonna put a pin in that. Like, this is a leftist think piece video essay. I'll come back to that one later.
When are we gonna get a twink piece?
I mean, we had one for a while, but then Miss Thorne transitioned, and now we can't make jokes about her being a twink anymore.
Oh, fair enough. Good for her.
Yeah.
And so the entire time they're walking through the Everfree Forest, Nightmare Mist is, the prequel to Nightmare Riven, is, like, you know, causing problems. She is, like, sinking into rocks, she causes a landslide to happen, and, the four ponies who can't fly, like, they go falling, Fluttershy and Rainbow Dash have to rescue them. They rescue everyone but AJ and Twilight, who Applejack is, like, holding Twilight, which... How it doesn't really make any sense, like...
Okay,
their hooves are just pressed
right
together.
Alright, yeah, okay. Alright, so reach out your hoof.
Alright.
Take mine. Okay. And now... Squeeze?
Yeah.
Okay, and now pull... see, like, they're... Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works, but it works.
Yeah. I do like holding your hoof, dear.
I mean, we can...
I don't want to let go.
Okay, yeah. Alright, yeah, we can hold Hooves Woolly Podcast, that's okay.
Aw.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of letting go.
Yeah, Applejack is like lying out her belly, holding Twilight's hooves. Their hooves are just pressed together. And then she's telling Twilight, yo, you have to let go. I'm telling you the honest truth. If you let go, you'll be fine. And then Twilight lets go with that Fluttershy and Rainbow Dash catch her. Why couldn't they have just grabbed her while she was hanging on to Applejack? I mean, I know why. It's because Applejack has the element of honesty, and she has to do something honest.
Yeah, like, look here, Sugar Cube. They gotta have her be honest somehow.
Yeah. But it's a little silly, but yeah, it works. It's nice and dramatic, and they help Twilight down, and Applejack just kind of hops down like it's no problem.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Fucking parkour pony over here.
Yeah.
Oh no, I was gonna continue on our merry way after the party passes some agility checks.
Yeah, pretty much. Next up we run into a manticore. This one is...
How's your handle animal score?
Well, funny you should ask. Mine's terrible, but...
Oh, same.
This one is not a womanticore. Fluttershy, I think, calls him, perhaps. Seems like a manticore.
Yeah, I believe the manticore does get gendered male.
Mm-hmm. And there's this whole thing where everyone's trying to, like, beat up the manticore. Everyone's trying to, like... I think Applejack tries to, like, ride it. Like, tries to, you know, jump on his back and yee-haw!
Rarity just, like, straight up kicks it in the face. Like, no question.
Yeah.
Oh no, manticore. Rarity just runs up and does a double back hoof kick to the snoot.
Yeah, like Rainbow Dash charges him. The entire time Fluttershy is like, hey, wait, come on. And then,
hey, guys, stop. I love her.
Yeah. And, we see the best part of all the main six of this episode, I think. Like, we get to see everyone at their best. So it's hard to dislike any of the ponies after this. It's good writing. It works. Mm-hmm. Applejack maybe gets the least to do, but that's a recurring theme in season one, so you can't be too mad about it.
Yeah, I do. I do feel bad about how little Applejack actually does this episode, but
yeah.
I'm gonna say that every episode.
Yeah,
I know Yeah.
She'll get her due. She gets one of the better episodes in season 2 or 3.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, season 2. But, yeah, so Fluttershy, like, you know, gets all close, like, hey there. And then she takes a thorn out of his paw.
Yeah. Which, like, alright, I am very happy this Manticore has decided to get into an extended brawl with multiple ponies over a, like, thorn and a paw. But... Yeah.
Which, a Manticore can't talk. It's in the animal. It feels weird to say it has animal brain when, like, we're all ponies. But you know what I'm talking about. Like, the...
Yeah. It's like the birds before. Like, they understand, like, spoken language, but they don't speak it.
I think it's more like Fluttershy could speak to animals. Like, that's her thing, is that she's good with animals.
Yeah, she dumped all of her points into Handle Animal. Yeah. I get it. God, I don't know why I'm making so much D&D reference right now.
We're gonna have to reference a good tabletop game to balance it out. Boom. Got him.
Yeah, but then people won't understand. oof. Sorry.
So Fluttershy takes the thorn out of his paw, and her whole thing is, you know, probably like, how did you know about the thorn? It's a pretty big thorn. You'd think anyone would have been able to see it, but Fluttershy gets her, I didn't. Sometimes you just have to show a little kindness.
Yeah, like, I do appreciate that all of them also, like, every time, because we'll say, we got a few more ponies to go through, and all of them, like, do say the thing that is the name of their element of harmony, like,
yeah.
In their thing to Twilight's face.
Yeah.
Like...
Twilight, I'm being honest at you.
Twilight, I'm being kind in front of you.
Yeah.
Also, like, Nightmare Moon's big plan was not to, like, take over the Manticore or, like, make a bigger monster or something, but was just to become a cloud of dust that, like, turned into a spike that went into a Manticore's paw that can be very easily tugged out. What a weird move.
Yeah, like, Nightmare Moon is this whole, like, big villain, but, like, it's weird. I understand why she does what she does from a storytelling perspective, but she's not, like, terribly menacing.
Yeah, like, it's very good, like, oh-ho-ho, adventurers, you have solved my puzzle. You are the chosen ones. It is not villain actions. This is, like... good guy character testing you actions.
Yeah, Nightmare Moon is, like, genuinely distressed. Like, how did you solve my trials?
Like, how did you solve my riddles?
Like, what? Nightmare Moon, one of your riddles was, like, tearing a mustache off of a gay dragon. Like...
Oh, yeah, we're about to get to that one.
Yeah, but not yet. We, actually run into some scary trees.
Oh, right.
We run into some scary trees.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some scary trees in this horrifying forest in which no pony returns from.
Yeah, I mean, Nightmare Moon is making the trees scary.
But yes.
Nice villain plan.
What?
I made the trees scary. Which, like, I get it. It's haunted house rules. Like, if you already want to be scared, and then...
Yeah.
Like, I like Pinkie Pie handles it well. This is a good scene for her. Like, the trees are scary. Pinkie Pie gets a whole song about how you should giggle at the ghosties. You know.
Told to us from her grandmother?
Yeah, Granny Pie.
Yeah, Granny Pie is apparently where that one's from. Do we have any extended lore on Granny Pie at all? Because, like, I do remember Pinkie Pie's, like, origin story. I remember that episode slightly. And... it seems really weird to have the song coming from there about how you have to laugh at ghosts.
Well, let's see. Da-da-da. So,
Do you need your hoof back to type?
I'll just use my face. It's fine.
Okay.
So, according to the My Little Pony wiki, good thing that also got isekai'd.
Yeah, the entire internet.
Granny Pie gets, like, mentioned again. A couple times, both Granny Pie and Nana Pinkie are mentioned again, including Granny Pie's super special triple chocolate fifth layer Marjolaine recipe.
Oh, I guess Pinkie's like direct parents were sort of the gray sheep of the family. Then I don't know.
Also recall that like Pinkie Pie and Applejack are distant cousins.
Oh yeah.
So it's possible that Granny Pie is, you know, elsewhere in the family tree might not actually be her grandmother.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, without Applejack talks about it, like, pretty much anyone who's, like, at a grandmother age is probably gonna be Granny, whatever.
Yeah, like, Granny Smith is actually Applejack, Big Mac, and Apple Bloom's grandmother.
Yeah, but I'm sure if, like, we ever met Granny Smith's, like, siblings, they would probably be, like, Granny or Grandma, whatever, as well.
Yeah.
That just seems like how Applejack would talk about family.
Yeah, like, she might say, oh, yeah, that's my great-aunt Apple Pants, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably someone's granny, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. This may be apocryphal, but I kind of, like, for characters like Applejack in general, I always just sort of assume that, like, if you're talking about, like, you have their siblings and cousins,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, their parents, and then, like, aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you go up, anyone who is a parent to, like, one of their parents, or any of those parents, like, siblings... All of those are just grandmas and grandfathers.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, it just kind of keeps going up that way. And then, like, as soon as it's, like, my aunt married an uncle and, like, their parents, that's where it starts getting to, like, step and, like, great and going that way.
Yeah.
But, like, the very vertical family tree has some simple naming schemes just because a lot of them seem to, like, have very communal housing. So,
yeah. Yeah, and... Plus, like, Granny can also just, like, refer to a woman of a certain age, regardless of whether or not she actually is a grandmother.
Yeah.
Because she has both Granny Pie and Nana Pinky.
Ah, just like a good old Granny Weatherwax. Oh, God.
Ah.
Oh, sorry, the universe split for a sec there. I don't know if I can mention that universe when we're here.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to start the discourse.
Ah! Oh, no. Oh no, I can feel the fan art falling out of my hooves already. Oh no. Concerning mental image. Okay. We have a song and dance from Pinkie Pie.
It's a good song. It's
yeah.
Again, this is the sort of thing like back in the day I would have been annoyed with, but like it's fun. I enjoy it. It's got a good message. It reminds me of a time in my life when I was at a haunted house on like a church trip or something. We were at a haunted house. Long story short, I was going through and the two girls I was with were like, they were like holding my arms tight the whole time. They were, you know, they were scared. I was not really. And, you know, I helped to get through it by making jokes the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, nice chainsaw. Is that a Black & Decker? Yeah.
Nice.
And, it was fun.
Yeah. I never got to do like the haunted house thing as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like there just weren't really a thing when I was growing up. And hey, my parents were super protective at the time, so I rarely... Anyway.
But now, you get to experience haunted horse.
This is fair. And I don't know, I always love, like, really shitty horror movies for just how much you can just start giggling at them. I mean, even like, new really good ones, as soon as you start laughing, you could just keep laughing.
Yeah, it's sometimes things that are scary or silly, and that's what this is all about. It's about attitude, it's about, like...
Yeah, you gotta giggle at the ghostie.
Yeah. It's a good song. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a. I don't know if it's exactly a full-on banger, but it's a certified bop.
Yeah, for our first like proper song in the series, it's a good way to start.
Yeah, and then
we get to meet Steven Magnet.
Ah, man.
So
they
you know how he got his name, right?
Oh, I'm sure it's gonna be slightly homophobic. All right, let's
do it. Oh no, it's better than that. It's
Oh, good.
So. Briefly, there was a meme in the Pony Community fandom where you would watch an episode with the YouTube auto captions on, and like that was back when the auto captions were a lot worse.
I mean, yeah.
So
I miss old bad auto captions.
And so you know, you would take screenshots of like you know, I don't know when it made it sound when it took the scene out of context or whatever. And the most famous one was it interpreted one of Rarity's lines while she's talking to the dragon as Steven Magnet.
Okay,
and
all right.
That's what the community called him. They called him Steven Magnet, because he doesn't get a name in this. And,
I mean...
Long story...
I'm assuming this is the only time we see him.
For a while. He does come back. He,
Oh, okay.
He comes back in the episode 100 that's all about the side characters.
Okay, all right. I would like to just say, if I say we never see him, and your answer is we see him in episode 100, the answer is we never see him in an episode that matters.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Now, hilariously, like, that name became canon.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Like, not only, like, was there an old trading card that, the card was titled Sea Serpent, even though he's in a river, River Serpent, but, the description says something about his magnetic personality.
Oh, very good.
But then, The name later became canon. Like, in that episode 100, he is in the credits as Steven Magnet.
Okay. I mean, yeah, whatever. Like, they're gonna bring in some fan characters. That's fine.
Yeah, I like it. Like, I think it's good to me.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah. One of his later traded cards lists him as Steven Magnet, subtitle, great guy.
Oh, very good. What a good trading card game. I bet its player base is super toxic. At least mechanically speaking. Sorry. Let's talk about this extremely gay river snake.
Yeah,
river
so
snake.
Steven Magnet is a river serpent, and he's this missing gay stereotype. He's like, oh, my fabulous moustache.
I know I'm hideous.
Yeah, and like, fortunately, Rarity steps right in. She's like, but your beautifully coiffed hair and your shining scales, but someone cut off your beautiful moustache.
Yeah. When the goddamn fashionistas start talking to each other.
Yeah, it's really good that, like, I like that this is how they give Rarity something to do. It works really well for them.
Yeah, we got like a cute like gift of the Magi shit going on with this. It's good.
Yeah, and so Rarity like takes one of his scales, uses it to cut off her tail, uses her tail to repair his mustache, and like he's so happy he lets them cross the river.
Yeah, he does just like slam his face into the riverbed to let them use his body as a bridge.
Yeah,
which is a little weird. Also, just to like, ah, oh, cool, we helped the sea serpent. Oh, now we can cross the river. And then the sea serpent like hops in to help. Like, they were crossing fine beforehand. All they needed to do was like, I don't know, maybe go a little bit further up or downstream, and they never would have met our good magnet friend.
Yeah.
Also, like,
they probably would have heard him if nothing else. Like,
yeah,
he was hooting and hollering pretty loud.
This is fair, but also like, it's an interesting, not so impassable object that they have.
Well, because he was making the river, like, really nasty and impassable, I think, was the idea. Like, this river is, like,
okay,
it's a bunch of rapids. It's, you know, difficult to cross.
All right. I may have just missed that because I was still sort of in shock with considering Pinkie Pie's backstory with as much of it as I knew.
Yeah. Like, I think that, like, in my head, I think it's, like, you know, he's making the river worse than it normally is because he's all upset about his mustache.
I just looked at the notes that I had made, and one thing that did jump out to me is that he's the first character to comment on the purple smoke that we've been seeing this whole time.
Yeah, he claims
the main six can't see it?
Like, it's always hiding from them.
Okay, but there's a few times where it does just, like, flicker around, like, directly in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, it goes... Like, they're walking towards camera, and it crosses in front of camera, like...
Yeah.
There are times when this is definitely in their eyesight.
Yeah. You know, maybe they think it's part of the normal Everfree Forest stuff, who knows?
Yeah.
But also, yeah, Steven Magnet does say, like, oh, this weird purple smoke came by and cut off my fabulous moustache!
Yeah, like, you think they'd have their heads on a swivel for some more purple smoke from here on in, but nah. Also... I don't want to be that person, but like, damn. Have you ever got a gift that's very clearly heartfelt, but is just bad? Because that mustache replacement don't look very good. It's a fucking ugly mustache, but like, it's the thought of it is what matters.
I think he likes it, that's what matters. I think he looks good with a two-tone mustache.
See, I'd agree if there was two-tone in his mane as well. But now we're getting into... Now we're critiquing...
Well, yeah.
Now we're critiking a side character that was never like, intended to be seen more than once.
Yeah, he's got these, like, blonde highlights in his orange hair, sure.
Yeah.
But,
like, even if it had just been, like, we saw, like, the purple get on there and, it, like, did a little flash and, like he just kind of, like, curls the other side of the mustache so it's, like, the same shape and then, like, pats his face a bit and, like, the rest, like, the purple side of the mustache just turns orange again. Like, we're already having, like, a magically attached bit of mustache. I'm surprised we can't.
I thought she just tied it on.
Not like it goes to like a gradient from like orange against his face, like purple onto the bottom. Like it's like she does it with some magic shit. Like we talked about it a little bit, like not before we even started the podcast, but just like how like unicorns have like one spell they all do. I think Rarity's is just like. Taking two things that are ostensibly fabric and, like, stitching them together at either a more, like, literal or, like, philosophical level, because, like, I don't know. It's interesting.
We do see her real magic talent later is, like, she can find gemstones with her horn.
Oh, that's far less interesting.
But like, I can also see, like, if you're a seamstress pony, like, it's not unreasonable for you to, like, join fabric with your horn, you know?
Yeah. It just becomes a very, smooth connection, but, mm-hmm. Kids show. I'm over critiquing a kids show again. Oh, fuck, we're stuck in a kids show, Grace.
Yeah. Trust me, dear, come on. You can lean on me.
I hope every pony appreciates our sacrifice.
Yeah.
Alright.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So, they cross the river, and,
yeah.
I mean, look, there's worse kids shows to be stuck in, right?
That's fair. Talking like the original Transformers or something? Oh, God.
Robo Sodas.
Caillou. You want to go watch Caillou once we're freed of this pony hellscape?
Yeah.
Because I don't. I don't want to watch Caillou.
I've never seen it.
Man. Did you ever want to see the, like... I'm sorry I'm going on a weird tangent, but, like, those, like, newspaper comics that, like, you know this strip is only in one city because it's, like, the city the artist lives in.
Yeah.
And, like, the art style and jokes of the script could just be considered, like, a really dry fart. Like, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Caillou is that, but a kid's show.
Huh.
And was animated in Quebec, I think. So, like, it's just, it's not good. I do not recommend. Do not.
Wait, the show about the bald kid nobody likes?
Yeah, that one. That one, that's Caillou.
I googled K-I-W-Y-O-U, and then...
It's spelled with a C, because it's French.
Yeah, Caillou. Yeah, I remember posting about, like, I saw, like, a YouTube thumbnail once upon a time, like, called How to Make an Unlikable Character, and the thumbnail was just this weird bald kid.
Yeah, it's Caillou.
Yeah, and, like, I had never seen the show, but I posted about this, and I got a bunch of people in my mentions, like, oh, yeah, I hate this kid, he sucks, nobody likes him, all he does is, like...
He just torments his parents and is a shit.
Yeah, like, in every episode, something doesn't go his way, he cries, and then it goes his way, and that is it.
Yeah, he's... Oh, no, Caillou's a gamer gator. Caillou is the kind of person who would be a gamer gator in 2021. Like, he would still be a diehard gamer gator.
I can't believe this 8-year-old is a gamer gator.
I mean, I'm assuming if we, like, let him continue aging. If when his show went off the air, he started aging like a normal person, he would be a gamer gator. He would have opinions about Tracer's ass. And he would have some extremely repressed and probably not great mental condition. Mm-hmm. And also probably no girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna say it.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I also have opinions on Tracer's ass, which is, it should be in a better video game.
Yes, both versions of Tracer's ass should be in a better video game. Yeah. Oh no, we're getting way off course again.
Correct.
I'm so sorry.
Dear, I said it before, I'll say it again. People know what happens in this episode. They're here for us.
I know. No, I'm sorry. We talked about Caillou, which reminded me that I grew up in Canada, and now I'm just...
You know what they say.
I'm apologizing for everything.
In Canada, milk comes from apples. Anyways, they come across a bridge that's out, and this is probably one of the more directly menacing things Nightmare Moon has done so far.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a fallen hazard, that one is.
And, you know, the bridge is out, Twilight's like, oh no, the bridge is out, what are we going to do? And then Rainbow Dash, like, is flying.
Duh.
Like, hey, Twilight, she, like, flaps her wings. It's funny. It's a good joke.
I mean, look, if I had a nickel for every time Twilight almost fell off a cliff this episode, I'd have 2 nickels.
Yeah.
And that's not much, but it's weird they used that twice in one
episode.
Yeah,
Applejack even, like, I think it's Applejack. He's like, Twilight, come on, stop walking off cliffs.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Rainbow Dash... flies over the other side of the bridge to go get the bridge out of the ravine to tie it off again. I don't know why Fluttershy doesn't help. She's also a Pegasus, but I mean, we gotta get Rainbow Dash's micro morality tale out of the way.
Yeah, and
so
there's one thing I know about Fluttershy is that, like, she likes to forget she can fly.
That's fair. And Rainbow Dash just takes a flutter off into the bimbo gases. And tries to tie off a bridge when suddenly there's a spooky voice.
Yep. Rainbow Dash reminds us that she wants to join the Wonderbolts, in case we forgot from last episode.
Yeah.
And then, oh, Rainbow Dash, we want you to join us, the Shadow Bolts.
Ah, got it. We took our cutie marks straight off of some, you know, Brazilian man's grave in the 80s.
It's a horse skull with one wing on it.
I made a Nazi joke. Well, on that note, Rainbow Dash gets talked up by some Shadow Bolts, they were called, or
yeah,
whatever, right?
Yeah, they're the evil Wonderbolts, which is weird because the Wonderbolts are already troops.
Yeah.
Well, they're the Blue Angels. I don't know if Equestria really has a military.
Yeah.
But they...
The Shadow Bolts are the Dark Angels. Oh, wait, no, shit, that's a different setting.
We're the Weeping Angels.
Man, that would... I would actually be very here for some Weeping Angels, and I'm sure they do it in one of the episodes.
I mean, we'll be Doctor Who's eventually.
Yeah. It does upset me that, like, Weeping Angels have become the go-to for, like, the thing that moves when you don't look at it. Because there are so many, like, cool folklore creatures and shit that was a thing about, like, before Weeping Angels ever came out in Doctor Who. But, like, now, if anyone tries to use those, or, like, the mannequins in, like, stores and stuff moving, I love that trope in any, like, horror thing that happens in a shop. But, like, everyone just assumes it's ripping off Weeping Angels. Mm. Like, ugh.
Rude.
Sucks. Anyway.
Yeah.
She's getting talked up by the Shadow Bolts.
Yeah, you're really fast and cool and a lesbian. Yeah.
We love your dyke energy. We really need a captain who's in charge. And then her friend's like, Rainbow Dash, who are you talking to? And they're like, oh, no, make the bimbo gas thicker. We can't let this herbo know about her friends.
And then they talk Rainbow Dash up. She's like, oh, yeah, I'll gladly come with you. Just let me, like, tie this off. And then, like, no, you can't.
You can't help your friends. You have to come with us now.
Yeah, and then she's like, no, I should really help my friends. She gets to say no. It's cool enough. And then they just leave.
And she's very polite about turning down the job offer.
It's very funny that, like, there's a later Halloween episode where, like, Rainbow Dash goes as a Shadow Bolt despite the fact that she's... Shadow Bolts were, like, a hallucination that only she saw.
Yeah.
Which, I guess you could just tell people, oh, yeah, I'm an evil Wonderbolt, and that's fine, but, like...
Like, flip side of this, because we're coming back to the thing that I brought up earlier. No pony ever leaves the Everfree Forest.
Yeah.
Why would she think joining them would even be a good thing in the first place? She'd never be able to leave the forest, assuming her stories, right?
Well, I don't think she necessarily believes that story. I mean, if she did, she wouldn't be here, probably, right? Like,
that's fair. Also, she is just overflowing with idiot dyke energy, so...
Yeah. That's Rainbow Dash for you.
Which, like, goals, but also...
Yeah. Like, again, I used to not like Rainbow Dash so much, but now I can appreciate that she is... She is fast of heart, dumb of ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Lesbian of hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get the bridge fixed and all her friends show up.
Yeah.
To help dissipate the dumbass smoke she's standing in.
Smoke that makes you take bad job offers.
I mean, she turned it down. Yeah. Even in the smoke, so damn, good job.
Yeah, congrats, Rainbow Dash.
Yeah.
And, they step up to this altar thing with, like, a bunch of orbs on it. It's got, like, 5 element orbs.
Yeah.
And Twilight, like, starts, like, doing magic to him. It's like, hey, all right, there's 5 of them here. The 6th one will show up if I do magic or whatever. She starts, like, doing magic to him. The other ponies leave?
Well, okay, but first, because this matters to me, and I may be the only person who's ever gonna, like, be involved in the audio of this show, but this matters. We have Twilight doing horse loaf number 3.
Yeah.
She horse loafs for these rocks.
Yeah, she loafs good.
Yeah. And yeah, Applejack's like, oh yeah, okay, girls, we gotta go give her some time to concentrate.
Yeah, which seems weird, but, like, it's necessary to set this next part up.
Yeah.
I love that you're on loaf watch here.
Oh, you know it. We're about to have some controversial loaf watch in a second, so it's gonna be
Hell
great.
Yeah. Wanna loaf together after this, dear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds great, actually.
Love to loaf.
Loafing sounds good. Okay, finish the podcast first, and then we'll go find out what loafing's like.
Yeah. Never loafed before. I'm looking forward to it. So...
Yeah, same.
The stuff starts to glow, Nightmare Moon shows up, and teleports Twilight to a different nearby castle?
Yeah.
With the orbs?
I mean, okay. I just have a theory, actually, now. That Nightmare Moon, like, basically all of her magical power was used up at that lightning bolt in the very first episode.
Yeah, that would make sense. Like,
or, yeah, that, the start. The start of this episode, whatever. Yeah. So, like, she's only got so many, like, spell slots. She's on, like, you know, cantrips or whatever now. She can only cast her, like, really weak shit, which is why she's going around as a ghost and stuff.
Yeah.
And short-range teleporting.
I'd be willing to believe she's, like, you know, she's low on power, right? That's why she wants the Elements of Harmony to recharge.
Yeah. I mean, and also to make sure no one can imprison her. But, like, yeah.
Yeah, it makes as much sense as anything. I imagine coming down from the moon takes a lot of magic juice.
I mean, she's also, like, forcing it to be night forever. That can't be, like, a non-negligible drain on her power. Yeah. All right. But yeah, no. Twilight gets teleported into another room.
It's implied that, like, if you, like, raise the moon and then, like, Celestia isn't there and no one... Celestia isn't there to, like, fight you. It'll just kind of stay there.
Huh. Man.
Yeah, because, like, remember, Celestia raises the sun. Like, she was doing the day-night cycle by herself this whole time. Like, moving the sun is an active process.
I can feel the universe crippling again, because I believe Pyramids had a bit about this, too.
Yeah. Except Pyramids was bad.
It had some good moments, but it had some good jokes in the rest of a kind of questionable look.
The part of Pyramids where, like, the three sun gods are, like, competing for the sun, and one of the priests is calling it, like, a football game, like a soccer game, that was pretty funny.
And I like Tepic's, like, observations of the world, even if, like, the actual way the world works around him is not
great. Yeah, I like Tepic, but the book is very much like a Terry Pratchett, middle-aged British man, like, these other cultures sure do things silly, am I right? Look at their weird traditions and religions. Look at how silly they are.
I can feel the world flattening under us, and that is not good in this setting, so, okay. Yeah. All right. But yeah, teleported to another room so that our main five friends have to go sprinting off to try and catch up.
And so Nightmare Moon manifests. She's like, ah-ha-ha, I'm going to destroy the Elements of Harmony. Twilight is trying to charge them up with one little spark.
Which, this is actually... God, I feel so bad for interrupting you so often for this, but I have so many things to say about this episode, it seems.
No, that's good. We're supposed to talk about it.
Does post-teleportation Twilight count as horse loafing? Because she, like, jumped right before she, like, the teleportation went off, so she just, like, fell? Because, like, I'm assuming if you're jumping and then get teleported, you ain't gonna land cleanly. Yeah. Like, so is that just her, like, landing and having not gotten up yet? Or is she loafing?
I didn't take a good look at it, Lace. I assume that, like, by default, if you're, like... Because we see ponies land from falls other times that they kind of land, like, legs spread.
Yeah.
I think if you land loafed, it's, like, on a concerted effort on your part.
Okay, and she does stay that way for a bit. All right, so we could possibly have some loaf purist arguments later, but I'm happy to bump the loaf counter up to 4 then.
If you're a loafhead and you disagree with us, email us at horse@hypnovir.us. We might read your letter on the air. Nightmare Boo does this whole, like, as she, like, steps on the Elements of Harmony as Twilight tries to, like, charge them up with her magic. And then, all is lost. And then Twilight hears her friends coming, and she knows what's about to happen. She's put it together.
Oh, you're missing a part that I quite enjoyed, which was, like, Nightmare Moon did the, like, broke the rocks and started into a monologue about how, like, she's won. And Twilight, like, because we saw her do this as well with the Manticore, where, like, she did the, like, stomping and doing the little, like, hoof scrape.
Yeah, Twilight was about to charge the Manticore, and she's about to, like, charge Nightmare Moon.
Oh, she tries to charge Nightmare Moon. It's It's very good, and I really appreciate Nightmare Moon being like, you're kidding. You're kidding, right? Just like, aw.
How cute.
Aw, good villain energy. Yeah,
she's a really good villain. She makes good speeches, she's very menacing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if I was younger when this first came out, like, if I was, like, 8 years younger than I am, so, like, you know, like, early teens when this show is coming out, I guarantee you, Nightmare Moon would be, like, part of, my, like, little trans me egg cracking, and very much would be the character I'd look back at and be like, oh, this caused feelings I didn't know how to understand at the
this
time.
This is the cartoon I watched wrong.
Yeah. It wasn't Sailor Moon and Cardcaptor Sakura that I watched wrong, it was this one.
There's worse horses to be.
That's fair.
Such as Fluttershy.
Look, I just want Nightmare Moon to step on me. Oh shit, wait, no. She could do that. Fuck.
I think that would be good, dear. I think Nightmare Moon should get to step on you. Do you want me to step on you?
That might not be a... After the podcast.
Understandable, dear.
Okay.
I'll even monologue at you if you ask nicely.
Don't make promises you can't follow through on. But yeah, that... We get the charge, and like... And then, like, Twilight pulls a cute little move of, like, teleporting and looking like she's about to vomit afterwards to, like, not be impaled on Nightmare Moon's much longer horn. And I think that's the first time we see Twilight teleport, right?
Yeah.
Feels like it. And I recall, like, later, she gets really big into it. So is this just, like, near-death experience, how she learns to teleport?
Possibly.
She had it happen to her once, and now she's like, ah, I understand this gimmick. I will make it mine.
Yeah, because later on, you see her do a lot more, like, frantic teleporting. Like, she does it when she's, like, really looking for something, mostly.
Yeah. But yeah, like, she tries to get the elements, and it doesn't work, and then Nightmare Moon goes back to some A-list monologuing.
Yeah, she destroys the elements, she smashes up the rocks.
Yeah.
She destroys them orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is right around when the rest of the main six show up, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, this sounds like the right flow of
events. Yeah, so, like, cutting back, like, right about, like, when Twilight and the elements get joined by Nightmare Moon, the other five see it right away, and they start going.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, oh, something's wrong, like, which, again, I like that they're all generally competent, they all, like, are doing their best at all times.
Yeah.
I like that the plot doesn't rely on any of them to be, like, to, like, not notice this.
Yeah, like, the only weird thing is them stepping out of the room so Twilight can concentrate, but, like, also, it's, like, yeah, that makes sense. Twilight's going to do some weird fucking magic.
Yeah, and also, we go outside, we see them, like, you know, we see a few of them loafing on the grass, so, you know, it's probably more comfortable to hang out there.
Oh, yeah. Do I need to go back and count how many of them are?
I want to say it was one or two, but...
Okay. The question is, do I want my loaf count to be just Twilight, or do I want total loaf count? I might need to keep two.
We do get a Celestia loaf later in this episode, so, like, think about if you want to count that. A Celestia loaf, if you will. So, Loaftia?
Yeah, I might need two separate running tallies on this one. But yeah, okay.
So Twilight hears her friends coming, and, like, she's put it together. She knows everything that's about to happen, and it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the rest of them show up, and she's like, yeah, the elements of harmony aren't those rocks. The elements of harmony are inside us.
Yeah, congratulations, you broke some useless rocks. We're the elements of harmony, baby.
Yeah, which is really good. I like that Twilight figures this out. And, like, again, it would be very easy for her to be like, huh? What? What's happening? But no, she gets it. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we even get the little sparkle in her eye for when, like, when she gets it. Like, there's actually a little flash and everything.
Yeah, it's good.
Because it's the flash of magic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually, like, for a kid's show, it's surprisingly, like, deep symbolism.
Yeah, I like, caught myself smiling and, like, feeling like a little bit of tearing up happening when this happens, because, like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, this plot coming together. Like, it's not an amazingly deep or complex thing, but, like, it's a story for kids that like, sets up a premise and just pays off real
well.
Yeah,
you see it coming a mile away, but that doesn't make it less satisfying. It's good.
Yeah.
Again, I really like that Twilight gets to be competent, like, you know, because it would be very easy for a show like this to be like, oh, Twilight, you wasted all your time reading books. Well, no, like, It's good that she knows it and that she put it together.
Yeah, she read a lot of books, so she gets it, and now that, like, she's in the situation, she's a very, like, intuitive character. She's extremely good at, like, reading situations. Like, maybe not people, but, like, she can take all this academic knowledge she has and, like, apply it to real-world situations real
yeah,
well.
Like she, just, yeah, she's smart. She's yeah. good at figuring out what's going on and putting the pieces together when they're in front of her.
Yeah, she's a very clever pony.
Yeah, which, again, I like. It would be very easy for her to be like this hopeless book dork who can't do anything in, quote, the real world.
Yeah.
I like that she gets to, like, be smart and competent.
Mm-hmm. It's very good energy. Yeah.
And, so the rest of her friends come in, and Twilight, like, she, like, Applejack, you gave me the honest truth, which gave me the strength to do the right thing. And then, you know, as she lists off what everyone did, Rarity, you gave a generous gift, a generous, meaningful gift when it was needed most, and so on.
Yeah.
And then the rocks start swirling around them and then, like, turn into these fancy necklace things.
Can I just say, one of my favorite things with this whole scene is, like, Fluttershy's reaction, because, like, she is really embarrassed about what Twilight's saying, like, while Twilight's talking, and then she gets her little, like, magic hurricane thing going mm-hmm. on, and she looks fucking horrified for, like, a full second or two, and then she goes into this, like, wait, no, this is actually kind of cool pose, and it's a real good, like, animation transition between all three of them.
Oh, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And, this happens, and then Twilight, like, explains that, you know, she found out that she's the element of magic, that magic makes yeah. it all complete, and she stops just sort of saying friendship is magic, but she's really gesturing towards it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure she says this is the final form of, like, the magic of friendship, or shit like that. Like, it's, she says all three words of friendship is magic in the sentence, yeah. just, like, not in that yeah. order.
She's really gesturing towards it, but she doesn't say that exact phrase, which is probably good.
Yeah.
As much as I do love a title drop.
Yeah. It's a bit of a weird place yeah. for one.
This is, I guess, where you would put it, but, yeah, it's, I do want to say, what are, like, Nightmare Moon's, like, good, like, villain lines, like, you little fool! Like, she takes advantage of the fact that foal and fool sound similar.
Yeah!
It's like, it's good.
Oh, Nightmare Moon is such good villain energy.
You like, foolish fool!
Yeah.
She's a good horse.
She's
I mean,
a good
she's
horse.
An evil horse, but, like, she's good. I enjoy yeah. it.
Lowercase g, yeah. but
a
very
quality
good
horse.
Horse.
And then, at some point along all this, Applejack says something like, well, gosh, Twilight, I kind of thought you were full of hooey, but, turns out this was yeah. all real!
The note I wrote here was, gee, Twilight, I thought you were just out monologuing the villain, but nope, you found the plot after all.
I'll be honest, Twilight, I thought you were full of shit.
Oh, man, I thought you were just trying to buy for time, but no, look at you, you got it. That's after rainbow capitalism destroys queer revolt. I mean, their rainbow magic crushes the kind of queer-coded villain that had been locked in the moon for, like, a thousand years.
Yeah, their elements start to glow. It turns into this, like, big rainbow double helix DNA shape. The Care Bear stares Nightmare Moon into being nice.
I mean, Care Bear stares her into, like, nothing for a bit there.
Yeah, but then she's fine. Then she's a horse.
Yeah, we find out that Nightmare Moon survives being struck by the beam of rainbow capitalism, but...
And then Celestia's here. She was, I guess, trapped somewhere. Now she's here. She got freed.
Yeah, like... How was Celestia trapped? Where was Celestia trapped? No fucking clue. How did she get out? I mean, I guess Nightmare Moon got defeated, but, like, okay.
Yeah, she's just here now.
Yeah.
And then...
The plot demands.
Yeah, and then, you know, Celestia's like, yeah, I knew this was going to happen. And Twilight was like, I thought you said it was just an old pony's tail. And Celestia's, no, I told you to make friends. Because... Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
Because, you know, you would need to make friends in order to, like, do this. I knew you couldn't do this alone.
I groomed you from birth to be the... to be the carrier of magic, yeah, to slay my evil sister, and I needed you to go find five friends that I knew you would go find as wise into this city and not, yeah, a different one.
This was all according to Keikaku. Horse, yeah, note, Keikaku, like, means plan.
Yeah. Well, put a pin in this, because like that little bit of discussion, it's gonna come up, yeah, later. But like we gotta move on this. But I want to come back to that little point right there, yeah, later.
Because I extremely understand why, like, Celestia wouldn't tell Twilight this, right? Because if you tell Twilight, yes, I
go make friends.
Well, you could tell her to go make friends. That's fine. Like, that's a normal thing to tell Twilight. And that's what she tells Twilight. You cannot tell Twilight, yeah, I need you to go make friends because you'll need them to beat Nightmare Moon, because you know Twilight wouldn't go make friends. She would, like...
Yeah, she'd go make friends.
Yeah, she would,
friends,
like, hey, we're friends now, right? Cool. Bye.
Yeah. Also, Celestia drops a very interesting friend, like, thing of, like, Twilight needing true friendship.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess fuck Colgate? Colgate wasn't a real friend to Twilight. I guess Spike can't be one of the carriers of the Elements of Harmony, baby. He's a second class citizen and doesn't count to be a true,
yeah,
friend. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit of a backhanded blow to everyone Twilight knew before this,
yeah,
point.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Also, like, this is so, like, these last two episodes have been like 24 hours.
Yeah.
If that. I don't know if I could make good enough friends with someone to defeat evil space moon god in 24,
yeah,
hours. That's impressive.
Yeah. Like, Twilight shared a decent meal with Applejack and her family. Everyone else was like, yeah, yeah, pretty brief. I guess they had that,
yeah,
party together, but Twilight wasn't at that party for very long.
Yeah, Twilight got horse drunk, and by that I mean drank some hot sauce and then,
yeah,
ran away. And that's it. Like, I guess the GM just said we need to get the party together, and we,
yeah,
did.
Yeah, because they all, at least, it's a plight they know each other, right?
Yeah,
yeah, Ponyville's a pretty swell town, and Pinkie Pie knows everyone, and Rainbow Dash and Applejack clearly have some history. Gay history.
Yes. Yes.
And, yeah. It's a little rushed, but I also understand, like, this is kind of what you have to do to, like, make the plot work. And besides,
yeah,
what could make you better friends than going on a dangerous horse adventure, huh?
Yeah.
A dangerous podcasting adventure, perhaps.
This has been a very... We died. We died for this podcast.
Yeah. They say,
oh,
you should,
no,
suffer for your art, but, like, I didn't realize we'd have to get hit by a horse to recognize the guy into Equestria.
Well, here we are. But at least now we have Princess Celestia. No.
What? Well,
Luna. Luna,
yeah,
is introduced.
Yeah, yeah, we get to meet Luna proper. Celestia loafs to, like... Because Luna's, like, lying on the floor, like, having just been exploded. And Celestia,
yeah,
like, loafs to, like, talk to her, like, you know. Hey,
yeah.
Now that you're not evil anymore, do you want to be friends?
Which is such a weird vibe.
Yeah. I get that, like, the message is about friendship, even though, like, they're sisters. You can be friends with your siblings, of course.
Yeah. We can... I've had this talk before with other people, but, like, found family and blood family are two very different,
yeah,
things. And when my... like, two sisters, I stopped looking at them as, like, blood relatives, and it was more like, I can like these two people as friends of mine, completely separate from the fact that we, like, have,
yeah,
the same parents. I started getting along with them much,
yeah,
better. So I get it.
Yeah, it works, and, like, some of the other posts there are, like, sisters, like, they're surprised by this, which, like, I didn't think it was, like, a secret. Like,
yeah,
well, I guess we, the audience, know this because it was that fairy tale thing.
Which Twilight,
yeah,
was reading, but Twilight doesn't seem to be one of the ones who really knows, because if she knows Celestia is, like, the princess in the story, then Celestia should know that, like, the whole Nightmare Moon thing's, and does,
yeah,
but, like, Twilight seems to think she doesn't, which is bonkers.
Yeah, Twilight thinks Celestia does it, or Twilight thinks, like, Celestia doesn't think it's going to happen. Which, like,
yeah,
again, Celestia kind of has to do this, right? Because she knows,
yeah,
she knows if you tell Twilight you have to go make friends or stop Nightmare Moon, Twilight will not make real friends.
Yeah, but like the start of episode one is Twilight being like, oh, I've pulled out this ancient lore that is clearly true. I must tell Celestia about this thing she doesn't know about. Mm-hmm. When like Twilight, Celestia was
yeah,
there.
Yeah, she did it. This is her yeah. fault.
Yeah.
That all happens. Pinkie Pie throws a party. We just kind of cut back to Ponyville.
Yeah. We bring out the four-boy chariot for the two princesses
yep.
now.
Some weird little Pegasi babies, like, hang a wreath of flowers around Luz's neck for some reason.
Yeah, she was looking real sad for some fucking reason that people were throwing a party about her. And then, yeah, just a wreath is what yeah. fixes it.
Well, I think like, the party is more like, oh, it's daytime again, more than yeah. Princess Luna is back. Because nobody alive really knows who Princess Luna is. They've maybe heard the story,
fair.
But like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, they know about Nightmare Moon, the horse that just, you know, did the bad thing.
Yeah. It's really interesting that no one seems to put two and two together on that
yeah,
one.
Like, and maybe they do? It's weird. Like, everyone seems like they're just enjoying the party, and like, and then Twilight's like, oh, I don't want to leave. I made friends here, but now I have to leave. And Celestia's like, you could stay here if you want. And then she issues a royal decree saying Twilight Sparkle can stay in Ponyville.
Yeah, Twilight Sparkle is required to learn what friendship is, which, like, in the middle of a crowded street, weird flex. Oh, speaking of, because we kind of plowed over it for a second, but like the Celestia Luna scene, like right at the start there, like, God, if I was Luna in that situation and still had a shred of Nightmare Moon in me, I would do exactly what Luna did. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not evil anymore. I'd love to be friends.
Yeah.
Let's just be friends. Good. I'm just gonna quietly plot against you.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones theme intensifies
yeah.
in the background. Yes, we can't
yeah,
be friends.
I can't really do anything against you right now. Sure, why not?
Also, the main five, like, not Twilight, all bow down to Celestia when she shows up?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. Like, they all bow to her. Twilight does it, because, like, yeah, she knows Celestia better than that, but it's weird that they bow.
Like,
they, like, kind of loaf bow.
I am not counting that as loafing.
No. The four hooves are in front, it's not a loaf, but like they kinda
yeah.
fold their hind legs, like they bat. It is weird that they bow. I thought that was weird.
Cause like the end of the first episode, all those ponies were expecting to see Celestia like up on the balcony and stuff, and they did not look like they were ready to start bowing. And like when the party happens, no one's bowing. Why they bow then? Animator, why?
I guess, like, maybe they're struck by her, who knows? I don't know.
You've been struck by God Horse.
We did kind of get struck by Horse.
It was a horse truck.
Yeah, it was a truck full of horse.
Was it? Like, it was a truck. I didn't catch a good enough look at what
yeah,
was on
it. Yeah, it was kind of coming at us. It's hard to see what's on a truck when it's hitting you. But, you know,
yeah,
the podcast is already called Hit by a Horse Truck. You might as well assume it was.
Yeah, that was what a weird twist of happenstance that is purely just a coincidence and not at all evocative of our fate.
Yeah, our fate, if you will.
Well,
whatever did this to us, they apparently have a sense of humor.
Yeah, I mean, I did the whole quiz and it turned out I was a unicorn and... I'm a unicorn?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And that quiz was bro.
You're not a hippogriff, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it would be weird if there's a hippogriff in Ponyville. We don't see any other, like, in, like, background or anything.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I see that. Would have been nice to have gotten the horn instead of this hair thing. Yeah, what are you gonna do?
It is cute, though.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, that's fair. Probably would have.
Yeah, it would have been nice to be in the priestly cast of horses.
Ah. See, if I was a better Dom, I would go into a whole, like, the weird power imbalance of priest and other
yeah.
person stuff.
I
don't know.
This works, too. I get to tease you about a cute little horror and pin you down and so on.
Hey.
Maybe give it a smooch.
So the party's going, and And yeah, Twilight has to is decreed to stay in Ponyville, and it's good. We get a camera pan away, and then we get that's all, folks, from Pinkie Pie. God.
And then credits roll. Horse done.
Yeah. I'm so glad that we are done watching Horse. All Horse is over. We have watched. Oh wait, what do you mean? There's episode 3.
I hate to tell you this, dear, but there's a lot more Horse than that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know there's other.
There's 9 seasons, a movie, and 2 holiday specials.
Oh no, what have I signed up for? I mean, I can't escape now, so.
Yeah, we're in this for the long haul, dear.
Yeah.
Assuming that we'll be let out once we finish our grim task. Who knows?
Oh, I hope so. But, well, we'll only find out when we're done, I guess. Mm. The thing is, like, thinking about what I remember of the other seasons, and, like, newer shows that have come out since this, like She-Ra and Kipo, mm-hmm. and... Hi, listener, if you've not watched either of those, please fucking do. They're both very
Kipo
good.
Kipo rules.
Yeah. Kipo's on Netflix, though, so there's a little... Hey. Maybe be a little... You know what? It's a Netflix show. Go pirate it. Anyway, I mean, wait, can I say that on a podcast? In Minecraft, for comedic... Yeah. Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah. Make sure that you go and pirate episodes of that so you do not give Netflix a subscription.
Yeah.
Again, but only in Minecraft for comedic purposes. But yeah, like, I kind of wish this story had been, like... Because... I kind of forget how most of the rest of the season goes at this point. Like, I don't even remember how season 1 ends.
The Grand Galloping Gala.
But, right. But, like, the first few episodes we get, like, going up to that are, like, actually starting to get better acquainted with these characters. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of nice if, like, we had the whole, like, Nightmare Moon might be released thing in the first episode, right? And have it be like, oh, but that's, like, the festival isn't tomorrow. The festival's, like, a week away. So we have, like, the first episode to get the premise. And then, like, maybe, like, 3 episodes. Like, where we, like, in each one of those episodes, we'd be, like, we'd focus on, like, 2 ponies just to, like, get used to all the main 6 as characters and kind of just how they jive together as people. And then have this episode as, like, episode 5? Or say, like, mid-season?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, like, give us a little more time to, like, meet everyone and, like, for Twilight to actually make friends instead of going on this adventure with ponies she just met today.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I realize what I'm saying is, this should have been a show that was made, you know, a decade later when binging streaming services was the normal way to watch shows now, rather than, like, catching it on TV.
Yeah, that's the problem, is this is still, like...
Yeah.
This is still, like, when the MLP Fed was still getting started... People would watch pirated broadcasts of the show. Like, you had to watch it when it aired, or, like, you had to catch it on TV.
Yeah. So I guess it kind of makes sense, like, that they didn't want to go that way.
Yeah.
But...
We'll have to see if Gen 5 does it better.
Oh, no. Is there actually going to be Gen 5? This is going to be a Gen 5 series. What am I saying?
Yeah. I hope we don't have to be in it. Like, that takes place thousands of years from now.
Who knows, maybe we'll just have to be, like, bewitched and teleported into the future or something.
Yeah, maybe we'll get hit by another truck. I hope not, that fucking hurts.
Just the pain of jumping in front of a truck and finding yourself in another franchise. Just keep doing it until you find yourself back in the real
world.
Yeah,
we'll do a little Horse Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Quantum Leap would be a good pony name.
It would. That's gotta be a pony that someone's already made as a fan OC.
This is my Quantum Leap pony.
Also, like, before we go, like, champion at the bit, let's have a quick chat, because, like, religion is always a weird thing with My Little Pony. Like, they're kind of all shown as loosely, like, agnostic-ish, but, like, Celestia directly is the god and, like, queen.
Yeah.
I like, they all call her a princess, but, like...
Yeah, she is both the... She both has, like, demonstrable god powers. She's, like, raises and lowers the sun every day. But also, like, she is also, like, the head of state of Equestria.
Yeah. And like, at least for the first season, like, we never even step outside Equestria. So, like, god, who raises and lowers the sun for the buffalo?
Well, like, it's gotta be the same sun, right?
Yeah? But, like, if weather happens normally outside of places that Pegasi are, like, active in, does that imply that the sun and moon in Equestria are controlled by Celestia? But, like, outside of there, it's just a normal sun and moon cycle? Just like
maybe?
Weather?
And seasons? I would assume that, like, there's one sun, but we also don't know. Or at least I don't know. We might learn.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of fucked up that, like, they can control seasons. Like, just being able to push clouds around. Meteorologically, that's just a horrible mess. But, like, they can control seasons, right?
Yeah, so, like, the transition from, you know, winter to spring is, like, okay, we have to, like, plow all the snow away and wake the edibles up from hibernation. It's a very active process. Like, it's a...
Yeah. They have actively gone out of their way, like, as a culture in Equestria, to lay their hooves down on the scales of seasons, which is, like, controlled by, like, planetary rotation, how far away the sun is and shit. So, like, maybe the sun and moon outside Equestria work normally? If Nightmare Moon took over, would there only be eternal night in... inside the borders of Equestria? Because that's...
also weird.
Like...
but it's kind of worse to imagine.
Weird, but cool as fuck!
Yeah.
But weird.
But the alternative is a world where, like, Equestria is, like, is the undisputed world power because they control whether it's day or night.
Yeah, like...
like, they could... Their president can control the sun with her mind.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd ever want to give any president control over where the sun and moon are in the sky. That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. You'll be happy to know that one search later, I found 4 different Quantum Leap My Little Pony fanfics.
Oh,
none
very
of them,
good.
But they all use, like, none of them seem to have, like, pictures, which makes sense, right?
Oh,
like, it would, because it would just be, like, Sam Beckett jumping into Rainbow Dash or whatever.
Oh, fuck. Human to pony in 10 seconds flat. But, like, we now have a secondary sky deity for this culture. Like, man, any like, fractionally religious person in Equestria, and, like, there seems to be some religious reverence there, is gonna have some interesting problems with the fact that they now have a younger, like, sibling to their deity that is just around and they can go talk to.
Yeah.
Like, that's a
little
weird.
Which, like, again, there are these, like, old stories about her, but it's gotta be weird to, like, just see it happen.
Right? Like, hey, remember that old god we used to talk about and everyone was scared because we locked her in a moon? She's back, and she likes drinking tea and kind of, you know, just has chats with people. She's a bit of a dipshit, but,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, wouldn't you be if you were in the moon for 1,000 years?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You know what? I would be extremely touched. You know, it feels like it has been 1,000 years, actually. Thanks, COVID.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
But yeah, it's,
I'm going to close FimFiction, because I worry it'll, like, turn our universe inside out while we're in it. But I do also want to...
yeah, that's probably not a
good
call.
But I do also want to point out the names of these other... of Ponyville Champloo, MechWarrior Equestria, and Titanfall New Horizons.
Oh, no! Oh, I don't know if I want to open the can of worms MechWarrior My Little Pony crossover. Man. But I do love the idea of growling upset about fucking free birth foals. They can't trace their bloodline back through multiple generations. They don't know exactly how much of their blood is Celestia, nay Kerensky.
Nay.
Oh no. Okay, at that note, before our universe implodes, do you want to go champing at a bit?
I know you've been champing at the bit to rate the main six.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, I have my list in front of me, but you made yours first, and say you have some surprises in store for us. Now, is this list of just which one you like most after seeing these two episodes, or...?
Yes. So what I was thinking we could do is, because there's six of them, so we go back and forth over which one is our least favorite, like, to most favorite. I'm going by, as much as I can, just these first two episodes. I'm assuming you made your list similarly.
Yeah,
but,
like, I find it difficult to, like, separate my general feelings about these ponies from, you know, how they're presented in these two episodes. So I think mine's more of a general fondness, so...
Yeah. Like, I know I got a little bit of notes here for them, and, like, all these are very, like... I've tried to stick, but there's definitely one or two of these where I've reached a little forward ahead, knowing what the character turns into. Yeah, Sugar Cube, you want to go first,
or
me?
Sure, you got a list.
Okay. All right, excellent. Number six for me is Pinkie Pie. Actually, I kind of expect she's your number six
as well. I actually put her at five. I like her more than Fluttershy, but yeah. Similar.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, we're gonna have some very interesting upset with our lists then. But yeah, for the most part for me, like, Pinkie Pie is just like a little too lol random for my tastes in these first two episodes.
That's what rubs me the wrong way about her too. Is she's like that. She's Pink. People like to like combine her with Deadpool for similar like lol random reasons.
Yeah. And yeah, she's just not the kind of like. Character I like in shows, and she's also just like not the kind of person I'd like to be around. Okay, sorry, I just saw her walk past the window. Yeah, she's not the kind of person I'd like to spend time around. So yeah, but yeah, you kind of let the cat out of the bag there a bit for your six being Fluttershy. Why do you put her there? Why is she the bottom of the list?
I just don't like her. Right? Like, she's fine in like this episode that we just watched, but like, you know. I don't really go for the sort of shrinking violet type, and she's like, she doesn't, she's a little too quiet, she's a little, I don't know, I just don't find her very compelling, I guess. Like, she's good with animals, which I like, but,
Yeah, I have a different read of Fluttershy, but we can get to that when we get
what's
to
your number five, dear?
My spot four. You may not like this, but I put Rarity down at number five
right,
for me.
I disagree. What's your rationale there?
Like, it may be kind of clear with how I talk about the whole, you know, Steve Magnet scene, but, like, I don't think Rarity did anything this episode. Like, she had, like, the most contrived, I thought, like, puzzle to solve.
I kind of would have called AJ's more contrived and that it didn't have to happen at all, but I see what you're saying.
Yes, but, like, again, they could have just, like, the solution to it is all, like, I don't like the two-tone mustache. I don't think it looks good. I don't like that that's how the solution went. Like, her sacrifice of her tail is just fixed later off.
Yeah, it is weird that, like, when Rarity, like, poof, gets her element, her tail is also fixed.
Yeah, like, could you imagine if we just had, like... Rarity just had like a really cute like one of those like little tied up short tails at the like dressage horses and stuff back in the real world. Oh no, is this real? Oh god. Back in human world, like dressage horses like generally have their tails all nice and tied up and stuff. Like we could have had a Rarity with like a cute like short little tied up tail and stuff. That would have been cool.
Like,
but like
I think it would at least been good to like see for like at least till the end of this episode or maybe a few others. Like
have an episode of her having a little bit of like an emotional problem of like growing out her tail and not and trying to like maybe hide it under dresses and stuff for a while and being like that could have been a fun like character thing and they just threw it the window and like Like, the only thing I really like about Rarity in this episode is that, like, the fashionista pretty girl is the one who, like, is the first one to just be like, ah, it's a manticore, I get it. Like, beautiful, I love that, but, like...
It's like, yeah, because when they run into Steven Magnet, yeah, she gives him a gift, but, like, you could say her real strength in that situation is, like, immediately empathizing with him. Yo, he's clearly in distress, and she's right to, like, oh, no! Like, she really, like, recognizes, like, oh, this is a terrible thing, you poor thing. She's, like, immediately on his wavelength, right? And that's good, but that's not really generous of her, right?
Yeah, that's Fluttershy's shit. Like...
Which is weird.
She just does Fluttershy's shit, but to people instead.
Yeah, but, like, even Rarity can be, like, kind of dismissive or, like, you know... Rarity isn't necessarily, like, the best at... interacting with people, like, she tends to, like, you know, we saw this with Twilight, she tends to, like, she can be a bit much when she gets going.
Yeah, she's very, like, hoity-toity.
But, like, Steven Magnet is on her wavelength, and she can, like, do that. Like, they're speaking the same language, and that's good, but, and I guess you could say that, like, in order to give a good gift, you have to, you know enough about the person to know what they want. Like, Rarity does, like...
Yeah.
Rarity does know enough to be, like, okay... Rarity does, like, okay, this would help. I think he would like this. And he does. Like, it's a good gift for him. Like, and she's willing to, like, she's willing to cut off her own tail to do it.
Like, a lot of my list is, like, how much I'd actually like to spend time around this pony. And now that I've made this list this way, our fate has gone in a very interesting way, because now we're going to have to. And, like, the Rarity we've seen in these first two episodes, and, like, I know she gets better. Like, she gets to be a much more interesting character later, but I didn't really like her that much the first time we watched the show. And, well, first time I watched it anyway, and then this time, like, these first two episodes, there's just... I just don't like her.
That's fair.
Like, it's in a, like, Pinkie Pie I dislike. Rarity, I just don't, like... Pinkie Pie's in negative scoring. Rarity's just at a zero for me. Like, maybe she's at, like, a plus one with the whole, like, cute kick thing with the manticore, but, like, the space between Pinkie Pie and Rarity is, like, Rarity to my number one in distance, and, like, my top three are all pretty close cramped at the top as well. So, like, it's a scale that just numbering them really doesn't do justice to, like, I really dislike Pinkie Pie, and then Rarity and the rest of them are all pretty close together. Rarity is just the five I like, the one I like the least.
Yeah, like, I can see that. I remember when I was watching the show for the first time way back when, I didn't like Rarity that much. I thought, like, oh, she's a fashion horse, whatever. And then I liked her more later. And I think my ranking reflects that. I think if I had seen this for the first time and I was like, you know, I would put her lower. But I do think that... I do think her interaction with Steven Magnet is good. I think it shows her character. I think it shows generosity.
I agree. I just don't like that. Like, I 100% agree. It shows her character. It's for those two characters, it is a good scene. I just don't like that scene. And I don't like the scene. And it's a good character, like, good scene for these two characters. And I don't like either of the characters that much either.
Yeah.
Like, Steve's... fine.
It is kind of weird that he's like a weird mincing gay stereotype.
Yeah, like, as soon as I was, like, heard him cry out the first time, I was like, oh, right. That's a thing this show has. Oh, boy.
This was 2004.
Yeah, he's better than my memory painted him, but he's still...
Yeah, like, he's Rarity's gay best friend, I guess, which is weird.
Yeah, it's not great. You said you put Pinkie Pie fifth. What's your reasoning,
like,
behind that?
I liked Pinkie Pie in like this episode and the last one. She gets some good jokes. Like, she, like, keeps the mood light, which I like.
Yeah.
Later on, I find Pinkie Pie a lot more annoying. But in, like, these two episodes, I like her. I find her funny. I think she, like, helps balance out the mood a little bit. She didn't do anything to really rub me the wrong way.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know, like. I think my memory of Pinkie Pie is definitely affecting my ranking of her. But, like, she's had a few good jokes, but she's also had, like...
Pinkie Pie doesn't talk very much in this, which I think helps.
Yeah. Like, I usually like characters that chew the scenery, But the thing is, Pinkie Pie always chews the scenery in a way that just gets under my skin.
Yeah.
Fur.
I mean, there's skin under the fur, right?
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. So yeah, like, eh.
Yeah.
She's
fine here. I know I will find her annoying later.
Yeah. Like, I needed to put something at the bottom. And, Pinkie Pie just doesn't.
That's not the hard part. Like, this list was hard to make because I generally like all of them.
Yeah. I might be being a little too mean to Pinkie Pie with how I've talked about it the first time, but, like, I definitely, I know I dislike Pinkie Pie, and, like, I kind of, like, Rarity I just don't really have feelings about with these first two episodes.
That is fair.
So my number four was Twilight, actually.
I put Rainbow Dash there.
Okay. All right. Like, for me, I Twilight's kind of been a perspective character through these episodes, and I don't know. I have a bit of a hipster streak in me, so it is hard for me to ever feel comfortable being like, I really like the perspective character.
Yeah, it's weird to say, like, I like the main character, I like the centerpiece, like, and the camera kind of follows, I mean, she's always gonna be the main character. I think she...
Like, we had some episodes where, like, we have, like, perspective of a different character, because, like, an episode...
Yeah, but that mostly happens, like, later. Like, I think Twilight is in every episode of season one.
Yeah, like, one of the episodes I can give is, like, the Rainbow Dash getting a pet episode. Yeah. Like, the camera just shifts to follow Rainbow instead. Yeah. And that's fine. What, like, it's a long running show. We're gonna get side character, but, like, Twilight is our de facto like perspective character.
The show is about her. It's about the first season is mostly about her and her letters to Celestia and so on.
Yeah, and like my notes say that she's a very one note character, which, like, kinda.
She gets the most development just because, again, the camera's pointed at her more than anyone else.
Yeah, and like, Twilight is just, like, the character who figures stuff out quickly. And, like, I realize we said that as a good thing before, but, like, that's kind of all she does in these episodes is just figure things out quickly.
Yeah.
Which, like, cool.
Yeah. Which I prefer to a show that, like, makes the characters take forever to figure something out that we, the audience, know.
Yeah. But, like, remember I said putting a pin in the Celestia speech earlier? Like, this is... That pin is exactly why Twilight is so low on this list for me, because once Celestia, like, shows up at the end of this episode, we're just told that Celestia just knew Twilight would do all this shit, and just, like, Twilight was just a pawn Celestia played perfectly, and having all of Twilight's, like, cool character development moments just be the thing her god tutor figured out she'd do and just, like, set up the world around her to do it, like, really takes away
I can see that,
how good of a character Twilight
feels. I can see that, like, even here Twilight, like, Twilight doesn't, well, because of how the show is paced, she doesn't really get a chance to, like, appreciate friendship in and of itself. Which she will later, but, like, it's weird.
I think these first two episodes kind of did Twilight a little dirty, but, like, head to with just how the show is made, and she definitely has some very relatable things. Like, I'm gonna be honest, my top four are all really close together, like...
Yeah, exactly, same. I found it difficult to put them in this order, because I feel bad putting here, but...
Yeah, like, yeah, Twilight was... I think the of my top four is the one I liked the least, but, like, I like Twilight. I'm having complaints about her, because we've talked about all the good stuff about her before this point. But yeah, like, she's all around, she's good, like... Pretty much any time I feel like I'm having a, like, as, like, the empathy for the main character, like, perspective character reactions, like a half second later, Twilight's just doing it. Like, when Pinky starts singing, and Twilight's like, is she doing this?
Yeah, it was really
this?
Good.
And one of the other ponies like, yeah, she's doing good. It. Like, because, I heard the song start, I'm like, oh, no. And then Twilight... And then the song turned into a bop. It starts a little weak, but
it's good.
Pretty good.
It's good.
It's good. It's a good song.
Twilight has anxiety, which I find very relatable.
Your number four was
Rainbow Dash, again, the first time around, I didn't like Rainbow Dash all that much. She was one of my least favorites. Now, again, I can appreciate her more because she's a dipshit dyke who means well. She does her best, usually.
Yeah.
I don't have all that much to say about her, other than, like, yeah, she's fine. She gets some good bits.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny when, you know, Twilight, I can fly. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, like Pinky gets some good one-liners, but, like, Rainbow and Applejack both get some fucking banger one-liners in this episode.
Yeah, Rainbow Dash has that kind of, like, you know, smug confidence that works well for this sort of thing, and Applejack tells it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
But in a good way, not in a, like, I'm gonna insult you and then act like I have to do it way. Applejack's very matter-of-fact. She's often kind of the straight man in a way that works. The straight bear.
But you're supposed to be talking about Rainbow Dash right now.
The straight mare. Yeah, I know. I just like Applejack, alright?
Yeah, no, I think we can figure out what your number one is on this list already.
Rainbow Dash is fine. I like her. I like her more than I liked her last time. My number three is actually Applejack.
Oh, yeah, okay. Alright, yeah, if your number three is Applejack, please take over, talk about Applejack, and then I'll talk about my number three.
Yeah, so Applejack was, like, when I was watching season one, she was kind of my favorite pony just because I like her, and I felt kind of bad for her because she didn't get a lot to do season one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her. I like her hat. I like the way she tells it like it is. I like the way she, like, plays off Rainbow Dash and Rarity, especially. Like, I like the way she grounds them in a good way. A lot of times, when someone in a show like this is supposed to be the grounded one or the straight mare, they're presented as boring or kind of a stick in the mud. Applejack...
Oh, there is nothing straight about Applejack.
Yeah, I know. The Kermit, if you will. Then, when someone's like this, they're often presented as, like, boring or a stick in the mud. And Applejack doesn't do that. Applejack is, like, reasonable and level-headed. And she'll go along with the wacky plan if it's a good idea. But she's often the cooler head in a way that, like, well, this isn't a great idea. And I think you know that. And I think you just need a second to realize that.
Yeah. Thinking about the first episode when we first met her, like, she has moments where she's... not grounded. Like, her just like, oh, you're here. Well, guess what? It's time for the feeder fetish moment of the episode.
Yeah.
Like, guess what, nerd? Sit down at the table. We're shoving this pie at you.
Yeah, yeah.
She has her moments of not being the grounded character, which is super important for characters like that.
Yeah, and in later episodes, we'll see her, like, it's possible to, like, get her mad to, you know, to get her to see red and, like, start charging into things possibly without seeing through things, which is... fine, because her element is honesty. It's not reasonableness.
Exactly, and those are two very different things.
Yeah, like, Applejack can have her judgment cloud like anyone else, though it's... Mm-hmm. You will notice that they, like, don't really know what to do with her, because she doesn't have... Part of being grounded means you don't have, like... She doesn't have the same character flaws as everyone else. She doesn't seem to have as much to learn as everyone else.
Yeah, like... If I recall, like, the first episode we had is, like, mostly Applejack has a problem is, like, the family farm is having financial issues,
which is one of my favorite episodes, and I'm so looking forward to talking about it. But, yeah, it's, like...
I can't wait for Pony Money Talk. It's gonna be great.
And Applejack's lesson in that, at least the episode I'm thinking about, is, Dear Princess Celestia, I didn't learn anything. I was right all along. Sincerely, Applejack.
So you want to talk about my number three?
Yeah, pick
this
up.
Okay, because I'm kind of impressed that Rainbow Dash is three for me, because when I first watched the show, Rainbow Dash was, like, my fucking favorite character at the time. I loved the smarmy bitch energy she gave off. But now that I've aged like a fine wine, I've grown to enjoy her. Like, I remember when I first watched the show, and her, like, kind of dumbass energy was parts I didn't like. And now, like, a decade later, I have just completely flipped on the elements that I like and dislike about Rainbow Dash.
Like, I remember when the show was originally airing, a lot of people who were, like, in that sort of, like, yeah, I like ponies, it's cool for guys to like ponies, what about it? They latched onto Rainbow Dash because she's a dyke.
Yeah.
And I was frustrated at her, like... There's a season where she gets two episodes in a row teaching her that, like, reading is fun. Like, that's kind of turned me off of her, to be honest.
That's fair. I don't think I saw that season, so I may be spared that, but, like I didn't like her because she was, like, the safe guy pony to like.
Yeah.
I was already trans by the time
the show was
coming in. I wasn't
accusing you of that. I was background for our listeners at home.
Oh my fuck. Actually, no.
I think I transitioned, like, actually, like, you know, did the whole living, like, actually living and doing meds and everything, part of transition stuff, like, between season one and two. Although I was already, like...
You've been thinking about it for a while.
Talking to a psych,
yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. Fun fact, the whole gatekeep process went backwards for me. Hi, we're just gonna quick detour into me talking about how I transitioned. Because I fucking love this. Because, like...
Take your horse moans.
Exactly. It's probably not a good time for whoever's listening, but just in case, pill check. Oh no, how am I gonna take pills now?
I mean, I think we did get...
Maybe we don't need
to. Yeah, I think we did get TF'd into mares, maybe? It's hard to tell.
Yeah, we're gonna need a mirror, or...
Ponies aren't terribly sexually dimorphic.
I mean, we could check later, I guess. Look, we're... okay, I can hear Pinkie Pie like walking around outside again. I think she's got the smell of new people, so gotta be a little careful. Where was my family doctor? I went to go talk to just because I was in Canada, so that stuff's free, and was just like, hey, so I'm thinking about trans stuff, and they're like, okay, cool, we'll set up an appointment, and I get there, and it's.
Yeah.
Canadian doctors. So, she was running 45 minutes late because she's just overworked, because all Canadian doctors are. And it was scary, because, like, I'm, you know, little egg having egg feelings in this doctor's waiting room for, like, and I wasn't even in the waiting room, I was in, like, one of the, like, actual, like, patient rooms in the back for, like, half an hour without her showing up. And then, like, does a knock on the door, pops her head in, and she just says, oh, good, you're here! And I'll be right back! And then closes it. I'm like, took like another like 10 minutes before she was finally able to see me, because she'd moved to the city I grew up in, and then took family in as patients, because our old family doctor retired and whatever. But in her old practice, where in Toronto, where she'd come from, she had two trans patients who had transitioned before becoming her patient. So she was excited to have a patient, like, starting the process instead. Like, cool. I have no idea what this process, like, starts from, but, like, I talked to some... I had patients who used to, you know, so, cool, let's do that. So I'd seen a gyno and was on, like, pretty light hormone blockers before seeing the therapist for the first time, which was nice. That's not how the gatekeeping process is supposed to go, but... So, yeah, like, anyway, I was... taking hormones before the first season came out, but then, like, actually, like, living out by season two. So, yeah, that was fun. But, I really appreciated that Rainbow Dash's, just straight-up cockiness was dialed down in this episode. Like, the vulnerable dits energy she has that comes out, like, when she's, like, cornered, is really good. I remember that comes up in, like, later episodes as well. That, like, if she feels vulnerable... Oh boy, does she feel vulnerable, and, like, the entire, like, machismo mask just falls way off. And I love that.
It's
I love
good.
Characters like that. I want to give them hugs. And, like...
It's good.
Yeah. I think the only reason Rainbow Dash is this low is because I was limiting myself to, like, these first two episodes. I think if I was going by, like, Rainbow Dash's vibes, and just, like, our Caillou chat, like, if she was allowed to age like a normal person does, unlike how TV shows work, like, Rainbow Dash plus 10 years would probably be one of the coolest fucking ponies to hang out with. That sounds like someone I want to be best friends with.
I agree.
My note here is she would be an extremely good polycule. Like, just get that in your polycule. Get that, like, old Rainbow Dash in your polycule. She will make everything better.
A Rainbow Dash is, like, mellowed out, like, just a squinch. It would be
more. Yeah, like, yeah, a little bit more, like, life lessons learned, a little less, like, mid-teen energy that she kind of gives off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Rainbow Dash that I'd like to spend some time with.
And I'm going to go to my number two, actually, because you brought up Applejack as your third. Applejack's my number two, actually. And, like, when I was making these notes, like, Rainbow Dash and Applejack just kept swapping back and forth on my list. I had to just settle here, because, like, I couldn't keep swapping them. But, like, Applejack gives off some very good, like, soft dom energies, which is pretty good. I definitely
definitely hated Applejack. Like Applejack, Pinkie Pie, and Rarity were all three of them I disliked the first time I watched the show. And now, and I'm really happy to see Applejack, like, much higher on the list now. Because, like, she's just, like, I mean, you covered pretty much everything, but just, like, she's just...
Yeah.
Good. Like, she knows what's up. She's the most grounded character. She's not, like, a drag.
Applejack likes a good time as much as anyone, but she will, like, if she spells a bad idea, like, she'll make sure you think it through and make sure that's really what you want.
Yeah, she's the person who is very good at asking the "Are you sure about that?" question in like a way that actually makes you think about it.
Yeah, like she will give you her honest opinion that like I'm not sure this is a great idea, Sugar Cube. You know.
Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah, I like Rainbow Dash plus 10 years, good hangout. Applejack now, good hangout. Which is why she's now like she bumped like that one point alone is why she's second on my list. How about you? How about you, Spark?
My number two is Twilight.
Just, you know, all right.
I like her. Part of that is like Twilight is just like one of the ponies I think about the most, even like in the time between my first watch and now, because I kind of fell off the show when I did, but I kept watching the Equestria Girls movies because you know I like Sunset Shimmer and. Sunset and Twilight kind of have a thing going. Like, they're kind of the co-main characters, and I ship them, and they're good together. And also, a good friend of mine who I met during my early days in the fandom, and I like a lot, and, you know, was a stepping stone in me realizing I'm trans. Like, you know,
yeah.
I kind of identified a lot with Sunset. She identified a lot with Twilight. Maybe I should have put Twilight at number one, but, yeah. I'm letting my feelings there get mixed up. Compared to just how she is in these episodes, but I also like her in here. I like her in these few episodes. I've said what I've already said. Like, I like that she's competent. I like that they could have written her as this helpless dork, but no, she's good at things. She just needs to, like, a little nudge to help make friends. I see more of myself than I like to admit in her sometimes.
Yeah, that was one of the things I definitely found with most of these is, like, I definitely see myself a lot in some of how Twilight's written, but like there is like my top three. I mean, in Twilight included, but like especially my top three, like Rainbow Dash, Applejack, and Fluttershy.
Yeah,
hi. We've gone through my first five. You know, my first one's Fluttershy. Like, I see myself in a lot of their traits, both good and bad, which is part of why they're so high on the list for me. But yeah, let's. If you're done talking about Twilight,
tell us about your Fluttershy takes.
Oh, I was going to ask what your number one, and then we can talk about my Fluttershy takes. But I don't know. I was about to say, do you want to rock paper scissors for it? But hooves.
Yeah.
Tell us about your number one. There we go. I'm taking the initiative here. You know, I said.
Oh, am I taking the initiative here? And I should tell you that my number one was Rarity.
Yes. Done. All right. Good. So, do it. Tell us about your Rarity appreciation hour.
Rarity was one of the ones who I know I've said this a lot. Where like I used to not like her, and you know, going off these episodes, I probably would have put her middle of the pack. I think I put her number one to kind of overcompensate. I like Rarity. To be honest, I think like there's some. I think it'd be good to doink Rarity. I think it would be fun to fuck her. But yeah, even setting that aside, I don't know. I like costuming, I like seamstressing, right. I like dressing up, I like being a fancy horse, and I think, you know, I like that in her.
I think that might be part of my problem is I don't like the fancy. Yeah. Fancy's not my shit, and Rarity is very fancy.
I'm pro fancy, I'm a fancy head, like, if you haven't seen my ball gown, I'll show it, well, I guess that's,
Yeah, we're,
well,
maybe I'll get
a new one.
I mean, the horse truck came through your castle, like, maybe the rest of the buildings upstairs, because like we're just on the ground floor here. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll go upstairs at some point.
Yeah, maybe your very nice gowns turned into a dressage outfit. The only fancy horse stuff I know is dressage. I'm sorry.
If nothing else, like we can get clothes in town. Come on.
I mean, yeah, there's Rarity.
But yeah, so maybe I overcorrect a little bit. Maybe I would put Twilight at number one if I had to do this again, but I like Rarity. I like her arc. I like, I like the way she's kind of high strung, but she's, you know, very caring. She's like, oh, darling, let me take care of you. And I like a fancy horse. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Tell us about Flutterbutt.
I was just going to say, like, I'm recalling an episode where there's, like, she's getting, like, bogged down with commissions and getting overworked. And, like, I am sure, I think we'll probably do this whole, like, rating the main six again. Like, I don't know, 7 or 8 episodes from now again. Like, give it a bit and then come back to our list and see if it's changed. But, like, I'm pretty sure whenever we get to the, like, Rarity is overworked by commissions and is trying to, like, get through art block to meet people's, like, decent requests of her. I have a feeling she's gonna be number one for me right there, because that is...
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but I suspect that once we get to Art of the Dress, you will start to vibe with Rarity a little more.
Yes, that is... Even on my first watch of the show, like, that was the episode for me that I'm like, oh wait, maybe I can like Rarity. Maybe Rarity's okay. Maybe this poor anxiety horse is very relatable and she just has a different art taste than I do. Which, I mean, yeah. But also, I just don't like her taste. Like, I'm a fucking dumpster gremlin for fashion. I love me some good fashion, but it's gotta be, like, dumpster fashion.
Dashing, if you will.
Not so much grunge, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Back when I had human shape, I wear a flannel and a shirt pretty much every day, but I do like to dress up. I'll take any excuse to, like, dress to the nines.
Yeah, my closet used to have basically just, like, 3 pairs of short shorts and then, like, 10 different Galaxy Print leggings and stuff. So, oh no. Oh man, somewhere in the other world, there's a poor human mangled corpse with some really nice leggings that I now feel bad that the leggings are ruined.
I'm sorry your pads didn't come with you, dear.
Right? Fluttershy. So, Fluttershy was a pony that I grew to really like the first time around. So I feel like I'd kind of put her first here almost defensively because of how much you bad-talk my poor little pink-haired friend. One of the things that really caught me with this, now that, like, because first time around, like, first time the show was watching, I was still in game dev, because I thought I would do programming stuff, and I really wanted to do video game stuff, and, like, sure, I kind of still want to make a video game, but for very different reasons now, but, like, I didn't think I'd be doing art as, like, my job back then. Now that I have spent, like, a decade being an artist professionally, basically. I'm basically just actually. Anyway, I've grown to really love a lot of the animation that happens in this show, and the animators always go out of their way to kind of have a lot of fun with how Fluttershy is animated. Like, she has some of the most, like, physically expressive, like, full body motion of any of the ponies. Like, there are so many times where she's just got, like, a really cool fluid pose they put her in as just some fucking art flexing. I love that. During the rock slide with Applejack and that, like Rainbow Dash goes zooming in and Fluttershy comes like follows and she's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I just want to hug this precious little baby. The manticore scene was pretty good in that, like, I'm always a sucker for kind of the same thing with Applejack. Like, Applejack will, like, question your plan if it's going badly, and, like, Fluttershy will too, but I know this show has a repeated sort of running gag of, like, when something is happening and Fluttershy thinks she has a better idea, all her friends talk over her because she's so quiet. Until she, like, raises her voice, and just because she has raised her voice, and that's such a rarity, like, every pony in the room just quiets down because what just happened? Even though she's, like, talking at a normal volume when she's raised her voice. And then she just fucking does her plan without telling anyone what her plan is, and it just kind of goes off, like... That chain of events is, for one thing, something I'm familiar with doing in my real life sometimes with people. And I
love any scene where that's just how things go.
Yeah, I can see that. I've
like the number of times that like there's been a show where it's like three people are like trying to brainstorm over how to solve this puzzle, and oh man, we gotta do this or else we're not gonna get into the temple and get the gold or whatever, and then like another character just like walks by in the background, just like pulls one lever and the door opens and just walks through without comment.
And I can vibe with that. I too know the pain of like, oh boy, nobody's listened to me. I'm a freaking Cassandra over here.
I remember when we were talking about the first episode, like I flat out said the first episode did Fluttershy dirty because like the first episode was just cruel to Fluttershy as a character. Whereas this episode like actually respects the character that we know she'll be later of like soft spoken, but like pretty much always has good ideas and goes along with other people's plans unless she really she's basically a softer version of Applejack on that front, and we both like Applejack. The other thing for me is I just really love how Fluttershy is voice acted as well. Like, I get that she's quiet and that isn't always it for people, but like, I'm gonna be honest, if we can get Fluttershy in this podcasting studio, I will make her start doing audiobooks, and that is what I will just listen to when we are not doing this from here on in.
Nah, that I can see. I think a lot of people, like, back in the day, I think I saw a lot of people who, like, wanted to be, not mothered, but, you know, cared for by Fluttershy to, like, you know, spend time with her and have her just be, like, very gentle and relaxing, and that I can see. I think she'd be it would be nice to spend like a rainy evening in with her. That I can see.
Yes. I would love to have a rainy evening and a good comfy fuck sesh with Fluttershy. But like, yeah, I get it. I also like the Shrinking Violet stuff in the first episode. I'm gonna be honest, I see a lot of how Fluttershy is in like how I think I view myself a lot. Like, I'm always worried I come across as, like, a Shrinking Violet. I'm always worried I'm not talking loud enough, and if I am talking loud enough, people are paying attention to me. Now I'm taking up too much attention. Mood. So, like, hell, the start of this episode where I was apologizing repeatedly for taking us off course on stuff you wanted to hear about. Like, Fluttershy is extremely relatable to me. In both good and bad ways.
Yeah, understandable.
She's my favorite of the six, just because, oh god, I see myself the most in her right now, and that's
I can
weird.
See that. I can see the... Yeah, when you put it like that, I can appreciate her a little more. I can see that.
Yeah.
See if supports myself. I'm maybe not wild about in her, but there they are.
Yeah. Hey, if there's one thing I know how to do, it's... see parts of myself that I don't like in characters I do like.
Calling yourself out via horse appreciation.
Well, that's a downer mood.
Well, Dan, anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think we should go maybe, try out some horse loafing and see how things go.
First, I suppose we should do our sign-off, I have been the internet's beloved Princess Grace. That feels weirdly sacrilegious to say now.
You were the previously beloved Princess Grace? Beloved previously Princess Grace?
Princess in Exile Grace. You can find my writing, programs, podcasts, posts, and everything else that's fit to plug at princess.software. Where can we find you, Dan?
I've been at Dracos. Assuming Twitter is still accessible, you can find me at Dracos Arts. That's DRAEKOSART. I may have already kind of mentioned this last time, and I'll probably keep saying it, but like, come by and say hi if you're fine with the lewd furry stuff I draw. Assuming we can get this whole setup fixed, I may still look into putting together a Twitter for the show.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
We should probably hide the podcast equipment before someone throws an impromptu surprise party in our house.
Yeah, I mean, she's not met us yet, so maybe she hasn't figured that one out. We're gonna have to go outside eventually. But yeah, we'll hide the podcasting equipment. We'll figure out, take a little tour, try out loafing on something comfortable, and then hide the podcasting equipment before we step outside.
It's a date, dude. Rest well, folks. See you all next week.
Yeah. Bye. Mwah.